So you're talking about serving, and it's almost Easter time. We should be talking about Easter. Well, this is the day before Jesus was to be crucified. And it's kind of interesting that the only gospel that talks about this is the Gospel of John. Now, John is known as the apostle of what? Of love. He's the apostle of love. But this is the only one of the four gospels that even mentioned this event. There's a custom in Judaism, and it's called washing feet. And they had set the stage for the Passover. They had prepared the Passover meal. But the custom is that when the guests come in, that the host either washes feet or he has a servant who washes feet. But for some reason, it didn't happen. It didn't happen. And I just wonder if Jesus wasn't hanging back and watching to see if they really got it or not. If the disciples really got what he was all about. So he just kind of stood back and waited to see if somebody would take the towel up and wash the feet. I can just see in my mind's eye. I'm imagining this, okay? The disciples are looking around thinking, you know what? Nobody's washed their feet. Nobody's washed their feet. What's up with that? And they're looking around, And the Bible says that after supper, after it was done, Jesus, now understand, the next day, he was going to die. Not the next week, not the next year, the next day, he was going to die, and he knew he was going to die. What would you be doing today if you knew tomorrow that you were going to die? Would you want somebody taking care of you? Would you want somebody ministering to you or encouraging you? And he was going to die for them. He was going to die for us. But he got up after supper and he took the towel and the basin, and he began to wash the feet. Now, you would not do something if you were going to die tomorrow that had no meaning. I mean, you would make each moment count for something. If you knew that you had less than 24 hours to live, you wouldn't waste time. You wouldn't worry about something as ignorant as a custom as just washing somebody's feet. But Jesus wanted them to understand something that is vital, that's a kingdom truth. Now, they'd already washed their hands. They did that in the Passover meal. That's one of the things that they do. They wash the hands. But the feet were still dirty. So Jesus begins to wash the feet, and Peter bows up, as Peter often does, and he says, Lord, you're not washed my feet. And Peter said, if I don't wash your feet, you have no part of me. He said, well, just wash me all over then. I mean, you know, Peter just goes from one extreme to the other. He just kind of that kind of guy. He didn't get it. And Jesus was saying, Peter, you don't get it. You don't get it. Now, I want you to look with me in verse 12. It says, so when he had washed their feet, taken his garments and sat down, he said to them, do you know what I've done? Do you know what I've done? And they didn't. You call me teacher. You call me Lord. And you say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them." You know, if we're not careful as Christians, especially American Christians, you do know Americans are arrogant, don't you? I mean, America is known throughout the world as one of the most arrogant nations that there is. I mean, we have so many rights. We're all about our rights, our Bill of Rights, our Constitution. This is my right. And we just really have a tendency to be arrogant. And even in the Christian community, we have a tendency to be very arrogant. But if we're not careful, even as Christians, we slip into the mode and we just think that everything exists for us. And we become very, not servant-oriented, but what's in it for me? What's in it for me? And I know that the kingdom, that there's a whole lot in it that's in it for us. We benefit very much by what Jesus did on the cross. But Jesus wanted to indelibly imprint into their minds something that needed to be a part of the culture of what He was about to do on the cross. The greatest expression, the most selfless expression in the world has been that when Jesus died on the cross, an innocent man and freely gave His life for us. But He says, you know, something as insignificant as washing feet. He says, I want this to be an example to you what you should be like. See, in America, we have built a whole culture around going to church. Going to church. And, you know, we all fall into it. We say, going to church today? Yeah, I believe I'll go to church. How many of you know you cannot go to church? It's impossible for you to go to something that you are. And we have divorced somehow our mentality that we see what we do on Sunday as church. And it is a part of it, but it's only a part of it. It's only a small part of it. It's very important. It's very important that we come together for corporate worship. But if we end it with that, we miss the whole thing of what Jesus was talking about in this washing of the feet. It says in Isaiah, y'all quiet today. I don't think it's just because it's first service. Isaiah 58:10. It says this, if you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then your light shall dawn in the darkness, and your darkness shall be as the noonday. In other words, we are going to find our fullest expression as God's people when we represent God in what He does. When we represent God in what He was, in the work that He does, in the things that He does, that we reflect that. When we are, see, we're not the sun, the S-O-N or the S-U-N. We are the moon. You know the moon does not have light of its own. It reflects the light of the sun. You're not the sun. You're the moon. Have you ever been out with the full moon outside? It's bright out there when the moon is, when it's really shining. And we're supposed to be moons. I didn't say we were supposed to moon. We're supposed to be moons. Wake up now. We are to reflect the light of the sun. And when we do what we see the sun do, we can shine bright in this world. See, Jesus says, I'm the light of the world. While He was in the world, He was the light of the world. Then He said, as He left, He said, guess what? You are the light of the world. You are. We hook up, and this is the second year that we've done this, we've hooked up with a group of churches. Right now there's 136 churches that have hooked up for something called 10 Days of Servolution. This should not be just a yearly event. This should be a life-changing event. This is one that should get into the culture of every church that participates. That it's not something that we do once a year, but it's something that we become. The church, I've learned this, does not exist only for me. There's a lot of chairs that are empty here today. In the second service, there will be less chairs that are empty, but there will still be empty chairs. This church exists for what is represented also by these empty chairs. There are people. I'll tell you, if you haven't looked around, there's a lot of people out there who are hurting. I have never seen the like of divorce that I've seen this year, this last year. I've not seen the lack of hurting like I've seen this last year. People who are in pain. Children who are suffering because of dysfunction. All kinds of needs that there are out there. I heard the story one time of a church that was experiencing a revival. It was a pretty good move of God. Things were happening in the church and people were coming from everywhere. And one observant saw this, that there were people on the sidewalks who were hungry, and the people who were coming to the revival were stepping over them to get into the church for revival. But what's wrong with this picture? We gauge too much by what happens on the inside of the building. The church is bigger than the inside of the building. The church, when you leave here, the church leaves. The church does not stay. The church is gone. This is just the building that we meet in. There's nothing sacred. There's nothing holy about this. It's just the place that we meet. We are going to be involved in something called Servolution. Everybody say Servolution. Servolution is a compilation of two words. Number one, serve. The other one is revolution. How many of you have seen Blindside? Maybe you didn't see it yesterday, but you've seen Blindside. If you have not seen Blindside, it's in town. It's at the Melba. I don't know. I doubt if it's at the other one. It's probably gone through there and gone. Shane, forgive me. But you know, if you haven't seen Blindside, go down to the Melba. And see that. Now, if you haven't seen Alice in Wonderland, go to Shane's place and see that, okay? But, you know, I'm not trying to advertise for people. But Blindside is a movie that every Christian should see. It really is. It's a true story about a young black kid on the streets of Memphis that was homeless. And this rich family, this rich white family takes him in, sees him on a rainy night walking. A cold night, he has a t-shirt and shorts on, and they pick him up, and he becomes a part of their life. Not only did they change his life, he changed their life. And it's just a wonderful story about what the difference that we who are fortunate and we who are blessed can make in people's lives who are less fortunate than we. And I've noticed this. Sometimes I'm thinking, I've got it bad. I don't really think that. But I've been in places in my life and you get on your pity pot. Nobody likes me. Everybody hates me. Guess I'll go eat a worm. You know, and I'm thinking nobody appreciates me. Yeah. And I think I got it bad. And then you meet somebody that's really got it bad. We don't have it bad, folks. We don't have it bad at all. But sometimes we get so inwardly focused for some reason or other that we forget that there's so many needs out there. And Jesus demonstrated in what He did in washing the feet. And He says, this is what I want my church to look like. It's not just about going to a building on whatever day that you do that and worshiping. It's about being energized when we come together and worship and being part of the church, being the church when we leave this place and making a difference in everyday life. Now we're going to participate in something called 10 Days of Servolution. This is something that Pastor Dino Rizzo, anybody remember Dino Rizzo? He does our One Prayer thing. He's one of the speakers at One Prayer. Will probably be a speaker at One Prayer again this year. He wrote a book called Servolution. And it's the testimony about his church and how they serve. They are an incredible serving church. They have medical, I don't know if they call them ambulances. They're not ambulances, but they're medical trucks that go places. And they set up. They went to, when 9/11 happened, they went to Ground Zero and set up and ministered to people. They go where there's a tragedy, like Katrina. They were one of the first on scene. It's a wonderful story. We bought a bunch of these books back when it first come out. Does anybody that doesn't have this book? Who doesn't have this book? Here, give that to your sister. Anybody else don't have one? All the way in the back there, young lady. Help me. Kyler, see the lady in the pink back there? Would you give her that book? Who else doesn't have this book? All right. Ooh, how's that? I've also got some dog tags. I got a couple dog tags here. We have a guy from Healing Place Church who comes here every 2 weeks. His name is Patrick McDaniel. He works for the company that does all the hauling for flowers. And God has brought him into this area. I mean, it's a God thing. And one of the things that he goes to Dino's church and he tells about some of the incredible things they do. But he gave me this dog tag that's Servolution. And on the other side it says, the greatest of all this is the one who serves. Who would wear a dog tag if they had it? Would you wear one of those? Anybody else? Would you wear one of those? See, it pays to sit up front. We're going to give away some more of those in the second service. But read that book and pass it around. Servolution 2010, beginning on March the 26th, and for 10 days, these 136 and adding churches are going to be going into their communities, and they're going to be doing projects in their community. I have talked to Mayor Ellenbaugh, and he has given us a project. We're going to be talking about that. We're going to be working together as a church to do a project for the city of Batesville. I'm excited about that. Life groups, our life group leaders are at present. They're looking for projects to do. I've asked each life group that we do here at the church. See, a life group is not just about studying. Life group is about studying. It's about fellowship and it's about serving. And if you're not in a life group, you should be in one. But each life group is picking a project sometime during this season, and they're going to go and do certain things. Last year we had the big car wash out front. We're probably going to do that again this year, I'm thinking. We're going to be doing the big car wash and giving away hamburgers and hot dogs and filling tires and just loving on people and not taking any money. But we're going to be doing projects this year as part of Servolution. And it's not just an event. What we want to happen, and we're working hard on this, is for this to be part of the culture of our church. And by the way, we got a phone call the other day. One of our life groups last year talked to Walmart about some stuff to give away. Well, we got a call the other day, and they have given us 4 pallets of stuff to give away. Glory to God. Food, merchandise, and we got to go get that. We got to go to Searcy and get that. And we're going to be distributing to needy people those 4 pallets of food and other kind of stuff. I don't know what's on it. Maybe a four-wheeler is on there. I don't know what's on there, but they're just 4 pallets full of stuff. There's some other things in the work that we're really excited about, that we're hoping, we're believing that God is going to do so that we can become a serving church. You remember Dino a couple years ago in One Prayer talking about the 1,000,000 bananas that they had, that somebody gave them 1,000,000 bananas, and they distributed bananas all over Louisiana, and about the cheetah print nightgowns? Remember the cheetah print nightgowns? All of those kind of things? Somebody gave them a bunch of rat poison, and they went out and gave away rat poison. They just give away stuff because people are always, always giving them stuff. Welcome, Courtney. Did you oversleep this morning? Did you forget to set your clock? Oh. Okay. So I want to talk to you today about servolution. And forget the term servolution. About doing what Jesus demonstrated when He took the towel and He washed the feet. So, why do we serve? Why should we serve? Let me say something. Holy Spirit, just, if this makes you uncomfortable, talking like this, you need to examine your heart. You need to examine your heart. Because you may be offended by this. And you may be offended by this because you're not doing anything. And I'm not saying this to condemn you. I said this because it rose up on the inside of me. If you're offended by this, you need to examine your walk with God to see where you're at. Because He didn't ask us to serve. He said, if you're going to be a part of what I do, you're going to have to serve others. Things do not exist just for our benefit. Our rights as Christians. Our right as a member of a church. We have a responsibility, and it's a responsibility of love to serve people and to serve people who are less fortunate as we are. And not only people who are less fortunate, but to help our fellow man in any way that we can. Well, I'm just not used to doing that. Then you need to make some changes in your life. You need to be willing to change. See, we know that there's two kinds of things that don't work in Christianity. One is liberalism. I'm talking about in churches. I'm not talking politics. They don't work in that either. But liberalism and legalism do not work. Liberalism has some good things. They're more compassionate than legalists. Legalists have some good things because they are more about truth. But what happens if you take the best of both? Not being legalistic, not being liberal, but taking the heart, the serving heart, and the love for truth, and you combine those together in one church. What kind of church could you have? You could have a church that could really make the difference in a culture. Now, how many of you think that our culture needs to be changed? Our culture needs to be engaged. Our culture needs to be impacted by the power of God. Well, we need to preach harder. No, we don't need to preach harder. We need to demonstrate the truth by what we do. We need to quit just saying, I love you, and show them that we love them. So why do we serve? There's several reasons. Number one, Jesus did. Jesus spent a great part of His ministry preaching the truth, but He also, what else did He do? He served people. He fed the multitudes. He ministered to the sick. He ministered to those who were tormented. He did so many things in ministry that really didn't have a whole lot to do with preaching. It was the demonstration of the truth. Listen, does truth have a reality to it, or is it just words? It has reality to it. It has demonstration to it. All real truth has arms and legs and voices to it. It really does. If it doesn't, then it's not really that important. The second reason is that the church and its purpose are best expressed outside the walls. Outside the walls. I wonder what percentage of ministry in most churches happen inside the walls. And I wonder sometimes, when I think, okay, I've preached, I've done my thing. Lord, I've done what You expect of me. Does God just expect me to do everything inside these walls? Yeah, Pastor, you have a responsibility to come see us when we're in the hospital. My responsibility to do, to do that is no greater than your responsibility to do that also. But I do have a responsibility outside these walls. I have a responsibility to minister to you outside these walls, but I also have a responsibility to serve outside these walls. That's why I do certain things that are not connected with the church whatsoever. But they're ministry outside the walls. And we need to realize that our greatest potential does not lie inside the walls. It lies out there. It lies out there. Don't get caught into the mindset, you know, I go to church, I'm a Christian. Preacher preached to me, everything's fine. No. We got to catch the vision of what Jesus was talking about when we're willing to put the towel on, take the basin, and wash the feet of anybody that needs it. That's a huge task because there's lots of need out there, okay? The third thing is that it's an intangible expression of the love of God for lost humanity. It's not good enough to say to a person who is in need, be blessed, be warmed, be filled, and speak a word of faith over them, when it lies within your ability to give them the things that they need. Then that's what we need to be doing. We need to be expressing in tangible ways the love of God. Love you, man. Love you. Love you with the love of the Lord. But are we willing to get involved? Are we willing to go beyond the verbal, the verbiage? And to put feet to it and demonstrate it. See, this is what Servolution does. It gives you a chance to be baptized into that. To be baptized into that mentality of serving and doing something outside of yourself. I'm very consumed sometimes with self. I do. I get very consumed sometimes with self, and it's easy to slip into that. And the greatest way to get outside of that is to do something for somebody else. Number four, it makes us irresistible to the world. Let me give you a sad fact. That most of the world does not look at favor on the church. You know why they don't look with favor on the church? And most of them will tell you that their walk does not match their talk. They talk a good talk, but they really don't demonstrate what they talk. Sometimes that's an excuse. But you know what? Sometimes it's the truth. It's the be blessed, be warm, be filled. See you later. Don't bother me. I don't have time. If I got time, I'll do it. If I don't, forget you. I got other fish to fry. Number five, it tears down barriers and opens hearts. You can preach and preach and preach and preach. And people harden themselves to preaching sometimes. But when you share the Word and you demonstrate the Word and you love without limits and you love without expectation of them doing something back for you, it's amazing how the walls of their resistance comes down and they're willing for you to minister to them. Man, it's quiet. Okay. James chapter 2, verse 8 says this. Someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works and I will show you my faith by my works. Wow. You know what? Why should we do this together? Why don't we just say, okay, go out and do something for somebody? What happens when we do this together? As a life group? As a congregation? As a group of people? What happens when we do this together? You know, one person can do so much, But when we begin to join together, guess what we do? We multiply. We don't just add. We multiply our effect. I wonder sometimes when people think about Believers Community Church, what is the image that comes to their mind? What is it that they think about us? I probably know what it's been in the past. But I wonder what it is now. What is it that we want them to think about us? Do we want to be known as a loving church? A giving church? A caring church? And you know what? I think for the most part we are. But I don't think we need to rest on that. I think we need to grow in this. Patrick was telling me the other day about Healing. Now, Healing Place is huge, okay? It's big, 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 big. But they took a house and remodeled it not long ago and gave it to a lady in need. And I thought, that would be awesome. Wouldn't that be awesome? To take a car and rework it and give it to somebody that needed a car? You say, man, that's big. Well, shouldn't we think big? Or should we just think little? Give them a can of beans. Beans are good if you don't have anything, okay? But what can we do if we combine our resources, our efforts, our labor together? What impact could we have on this area? I'm not just talking about Batesville. I'm talking about this area. I don't know how we're going to distribute that 4 pallets of stuff, but we're going to find a way to do that. I don't know if we're going to load it in the back of a pickup and go knock on doors or exactly what we're going to do. I know some of it we're going to take to the orphanage out in the oil trough. We're going to take some food out there. We're probably going to take some food to Luke 4:18. We may take some to John 3:16. But there's 4 pallets of that stuff. We're going to find a way to distribute that. And we're going to let you help do that. It's just going to be part of our servolution thing that we're doing. I believe that as people sees that we're a church willing to distribute stuff, I'm looking for more stuff to come our way. I'm looking for more stuff to come our way. That people say, you know what, that's a giving church. I got this that I would like to give. I got this that I would like to give. And all of a sudden we see ourselves being able to minister to a whole lot of people. And at the same time, love them with the love of the Lord, put the Word in them, and minister to their needs and see what God does in their life. So what happens when we work together? We multiply our efficiency. We create momentum and energy to move things forward. It's time that we move some things forward. I'm not happy where we're at. I'm content with what God is doing in our church, but I'm seeing some other stuff out there that we need to be doing. I see some need out there that's huge. You know what? When there's people that don't have a place to sleep, that should bother us. When there are children in this town who don't get to eat, that should bother us. There are people everywhere who have all kinds of needs. There's marriages that are breaking up. That should bother us. We need to be finding ways that we can minister to people like that. I don't know what it's going to take, but I see that need out there. And I believe God is going to move us in that direction. I'm so excited about this Christian health clinic. That's fixing to become a reality. April the 15th, it's going to open. And it's going to open here. Now, we're not going to be the permanent home, but we're going to house it for a while. We got some doctors that are excited about it. We got nurses and professionals that are excited about it. We got people who are volunteering. We need funds to help fund that. People will be able to see a doctor, get a prescription for $8. Dude, you can't beat that. God is up to something. Yeehaw! He's up to something. And we need people like you volunteering. This nursery thing, man, that's a shame. That's what that is. That's a shame. And that should be a no-brainer. We ought to take care of our children. But we got to help take care of some other folks too. Amen? That's all I got to say about that. When we work together, you know what it does? It brings us in unity. You know what unity does? It proves the gospel. It proves the gospel. What would happen if we could join hands? And we did this back during Christmas. We joined hands with Ruddle Hill Baptist. And we minister to the foster kids for Christmas. That creates a bond between churches. Do you think in this town we need some bonds between churches? Oh my gosh. You ought to try to get preachers to work together. I hate going to preachers' meetings. They don't want to work together. They're afraid of each other. They're jealous. They're all of these kind of things. And when you can find two or three churches that'll get together and do things together, you know, us and a Baptist. We're not Baptists, folks. We're not Baptists here. We worked with a Southern Baptist church, and they were thrilled about it. We're going to work with some other churches. God is going to open some doors. It's not about believers' community church. It's about the kingdom. It's about His kingdom, and that's what we need to be about. Amen? Give God a hand clap. Do something. Help us, Jesus. So get ready. T.D. Jake says, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. God wants to pour out something. So I want the Spirit. This is what the Spirit's doing. The Spirit's empowering us to do something. Get off our bomb 2DAs. And do something. They used to say, get off your blessed assurance. Get off your butt. We're going to do something for the kingdom. So that offends me. Get over it. Buttissimo. Whatever it is, get off of it. And get ready to do something. You know, a horrible statistic. 20% of people do 80% of the work. That's horrible among Christians. It ought to be the other way. 80% working and 20%. Now, it really ought to be 100. But that 20-80 thing is horrible. Well, I've done my part. Well, maybe you ought to go home to be with the Lord then. On second thought, there's no such thing as retiring in Christ. When they put you in the ground is when you get to quit working for God. Otherwise, you have a stewardship. You need to be involved in something of ministry. In Jesus' name, I got to pray. Father God, thank You so much for Servolution. Thank You that You took that towel that day and that basin of water and You washed feet. And You demonstrated to us that if we're really going to be a part of what You're about, then we have to be about people also. We thank You and we praise You in Jesus' name.